Welcome to Sightseeing Japan, the podcast where we explore the land of wow.
Whoa.
I'm Paul Bresson.
And I'm Jason Neeling. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
You know, we've had some great times together in Japan, haven't we?
Are you breaking up with me?
No, I'm just reminiscing.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Yeah. Done a lot of fun things. I was curious to ask you, if you had to choose one thing out of all the things that we've done, not even necessarily things that only we have done, but things that you've done in Japan, what was your favorite thing?
Well, a week ago, I'd find that question difficult to answer. But now I think I can tell you exactly what my favorite thing is. I don't know if I want to spoil it, though.
What has changed? Just from researching this episode, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I finally really compared everything.
Okay. You just thought more carefully about the things that we've done?
Yeah. I might have arrived on the same conclusion beforehand, but I would have had to think about it for a while. Right now, I've got a quick shot answer ready to go.
So you're saying that the answer is something that we're covering in this episode?
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
What about you?
That's not where I expected this conversation to go. Paul, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I know you're going to have certain feelings about this, but I have to say the Shimanami Kaido was my favorite thing. And I know you've said, I've gotten the impression that you were a little hurt when I said that I loved that so much because you were not there. But I want to reassure you that my enjoyment of that would have only been augmented by your presence.
Okay, thank you for that. So, two things in response to that. One is, I guess, Shimanami Kaido, I was thinking more of like attractions. I don't know if I was thinking of like a long hike or bike ride as an attraction.
Okay.
So, I get what you're saying now. So, maybe if I broadened it, like maybe biking around Sakurajima would possibly... Or walking the old Nakasendo with you, those two would probably also be in contention as well.
Sure. Maybe I should have phrased it differently. I was thinking more, yeah, like what's your favorite experience that you've had in Japan? Not necessarily the favorite thing that you saw or whatever it was
Sure, sure. Oh, and my second thing in response is I am not offended that you had the most fun without me. I am just the type of person that will take any chance I get to make my friends feel bad about themselves. So I try to pretend like I'm possibly hurt by it.
I understand.
But I'm not. The Shimanami Kaido sounds amazing. Like, I totally understand why you were blown away by it. And I want to do it myself someday.
Well, I'm glad you got some enjoyment out of making me feel crummy.
I did, but it's only fair because you got to enjoy the Shimanami Kaido. So I got my little piece of that out of you.
Good. So we're even then.
Yeah.
Great,
we're even.
Great. I'm glad. Well, okay. So let's go back to, you said that your favorite thing that you've seen in Japan is on this list that we're talking about today, right?
Yes.
Okay. So as we were prepping for this episode, I started thinking about like, what is it that makes certain attractions so popular? You know, we're talking about the most popular attractions today. And of course, every attraction has its own story. It's got its history. There are things that make all these things interesting. But like, do you ever feel like certain things are popular just because they're popular? Like there are places where so many people go that everybody else feels like, well, I guess I have to go there too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the popularity of an attraction can be affected by marketing and other things. Just being well known, getting featured in media or anything like that can make a place on everybody's radar and then it becomes popular. That does not always correlate with the best places.
Yeah. Almost nobody talks about the Shimanami Kaido if you're looking at like the top things to do in Japan, you know? But I'd put it at the top of my list.
Right. I think people have convenience in mind a lot when they make those lists. They want to do the things that like everybody's going to do, like going that far south and renting a bike and doing a 2-day ride isn't going to get as many people just logistically.
That's a good point. That's kind of outside of the main path that people take on their first trip to Japan.
Yep.
And most people are looking at, yeah, what are the big things I need to hit on my first trip? Although I wouldn't rule out the Shimanami Kaido on your first trip. It's a different side of Japan that you won't get in, you know, Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka.
Don't be a Paul. just checking boxes off your list. Go have the experience. Go be a Jason.
What? What? You feel like that's how you approach trips? Or what do you mean?
It's partly how I approach trips. Like, there's a ton of things I want to see you do, and I figure out, like, how I can jam as many as possible efficiently into the 2 weeks that I have, because I feel like I want to get further into my list, know, because my list, it seems so daunting. My list is so long right now.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Not that I'm not at all happy, but even more referencing, like, my first trip, where it was kind of just, like, I hit all the big spots, sure. Which isn't bad, but going to see the countryside would have been awesome. Taking a great hike would have been amazing.
Yeah. I wish you could join me on the Kumano Kodo this fall. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too, but that's how it goes.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I have no problem taking out a chunk of the trip to just do something, as long as it's like something that really caught my attention and I'm really excited about. Like, sure, I could see a bunch of other stuff in that same time, but anyway, should we get back to the topic of this episode?
Getting more back towards that, do you often rate things? Do you have lists? Do you compare things to each other, or do you just, like, take everything one by one as it goes?
Outside of the little conversations we have about that, like, oh, what was your favorite thing this trip, you know, that kind of stuff, I don't really think about it much. I just think, wow, I had a lot of great experiences, and I like to look back at my pictures and think about all of them. You know, I have a good time with all of it.
Yeah. I'm the same, but what we did for this episode was actually ranking things, and I'm a data guy, so it was kind of fun actually seeing my, having numbers now.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun putting this list together too.
So explain exactly what we're going to be doing.
Okay. So we're rating some of Japan's most popular attractions. Like, we wanted to focus on the things that everybody hears about, everybody tries to cram into their first trip maybe. And we want to talk about, like, do they live up to the hype? Is it really worth it? Are there, you know, maybe there are things that your time would be better spent on? Because we always talk about how it's really important to try to tailor your trip to your own preferences. And, like, you know, I say just go with what really excites you, rather than go with, like, the top 10 list in Japan or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on this list, these are all places that we've both been to.
Yes.
And we're going to be rating each attraction on a scale of 1 to 10 in 4 different categories. Let's go through these categories, Paul.
Okay.
The first one is wow factor. What does that mean?
I mean, is it impressive? Does it awe you? Is there amazing artwork that blows your mind? Is it something you've never seen before?
I was thinking about the moment when you see it. Like, how does it hit you?
Yeah.
You know? How is that going to feel when you first catch a glimpse of it?
Yeah.
So a number one in that category would be like, okay, there's nothing to see here. Like, what am I even doing here? How is this an attraction? You'd miss it if you didn't know it was there. Number 10 is like, this is the coolest thing I've ever laid my eyes on.
Yep.
Our next category is the fun factor. Talking more about the actual experience, like, you know, just standing and looking at something can be really cool and impressive, but might not qualify as fun, right?
Yep.
So like, one is, this is so boring, I'm about to fall asleep. 10 is a super interactive and engaging experience. Our next category is value/convenience. This one is kind of interesting. We didn't want value or convenience to have too much weight on its own, so we squished them together into this category. We're factoring in cost, ease of access, how busy a place might be. If you have to wade through a crowd of people, I wouldn't call that convenient.
Yeah, and a little bit maybe bang for your buck. Like, do you get a lot of content for what you're paying?
So a number one in this category would be, it takes forever to get there, and it's a ripoff, and it's so busy that you have to get there at 5 a.m. to avoid the crowds. A 10 in this category is like, it's just super quick and easy to get there, and it's the best deal ever, preferably free. It's going to get a higher rating if it's free, probably.
Yep.
What's our fourth category, Paul?
Cultural and historical significance, which is pretty straightforward, I think.
Yeah, I thought about it as like, how well does this attraction embody the essence of Japan?
Yeah, yeah. is there real history or like active culture in this place right now?
Yeah. So a one would be like a brand new viral Instagram gimmick thing that nobody knew about until a week ago. You know, it has no history, no connection to Japanese culture other than the fact that it's owned by a Japanese person. Maybe it's not even owned by a Japanese person, you know?
Yeah.
It has no connection to Japan other than the fact that it's in the country.
New York style hot dog stand run by an Italian guy from New York.
There you go.
Tokyo.
That's a one. A 10 would be like a 1400 year old shrine that was visited by Japan's first emperors. That's pretty significant, I'd say.
Okay. I think there's a little room for nuance there. 9 or 10.
What?
We'll see. We'll
okay.
see as we go.
We'll let Paul explain his position as we get through these. So for each attraction recovering, we're going to rate them in those categories and then average those to get like a final overall rating for that attraction.
Yeah, so we've each rated everything, but we haven't seen each other's ratings.
Yeah.
So we're going to, at the end, combine our ratings and make an overall list, top to bottom. But we'll, if we disagree on something along the way, we'll maybe see if we can change each other's minds a little bit.
It's possible. There's going to be some debate here, I think.
Or maybe we'll disagree on everything.
What if every number was exactly the same? Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing?
Probably not.
Paul, do you want to introduce our first attraction?
Yeah. We're going to be starting in the great city of Tokyo at Shibuya Crossing, or Shibuya Scramble. This is the massive crosswalk right outside Shibuya Station that 2,500 people or so cross together at once every single crossing time.
It's the busiest pedestrian intersection in the world.
Yep.
But it's not just about like the actual crosswalk itself, right? There's also a bunch of lights and billboards. Kind of reminds me of Times Square a little bit in New York, at least just the fact that there are so many billboards.
Absolutely.
There are fun shops around. There's an observation deck. I factored that in too. Like, I was thinking about the whole experience of just hanging out around that intersection, right?
Yeah.
There's the Hachiko statue. There's an iconic Starbucks there that you can watch the crossing from.
Okay.
So first category, Paul, wow factor. What you got?
I came in at an 8.
8?
I did.
Justify your rating.
It's just impressive seeing that many people move together and wind through each other, and then it just refills and refills and keeps going. It's kind of an unbelievable sight. Like, I'd never seen crowds like that move like that.
Okay. I gave it a 6.
Okay.
I'll start with the positives. I mean, I'd heard about this place so many times. I'd seen it in, like, movies and video games. Like, it's a super famous place, you know? Lost in Translation. It's a symbol of Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to see it at a busy hour, it is just like amazing to think about how many people flow through there. And then to extrapolate that and start thinking about like all of Tokyo and just how many people there are in this city, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, it's also just an intersection, you know? Like, it's an impressive intersection, but how impressive can an intersection really be?
This impressive. It's probably the most impressive intersection.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I didn't want to give it too high of a rating just because it's like, I don't feel like it wowed me all that much when I first saw it.
Okay.
Just compared to, you know, all the other amazing things in Japan.
Fair enough. 6. I'm not going to fight you on that.
Okay. Fun factor. Should I start with this one?
Yeah.
I also gave it a 6 for fun factor.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm thinking about the whole experience you might have here. I'm including the shops. You can hang out at Starbucks and people watch. You can go shop at Shibuya 109. You can rub Hachiko's paw for good luck. Like, those are all fun things. You know, they're pretty interactive. There are more stimulating things you could do, for sure. I mean, you're basically just hanging out in a big city. Like, it's cool, but it's not higher than a 6 to me.
Well, here's where I'm thinking now we're going to discredit everything.
Okay.
I gave it a 2.
Oh, my.
I gave it a 2. Because it's like, you show up, it's like, wow. You walk through it once, And then it's kind of like, okay, I did that. You know, the Hachiko statue is cool, but it's just like a thing to see. It's not really super fun.
You got to know the story behind it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean.
So it's kind of like, okay, that was cool to see. And, you know, like, I know there's shopping around, but now I guess I'll get into semantics. Like, are we raiding all of Shibuya, you know, or are we raiding the crossing?
Okay. So were you thinking about, like, spending an hour walking up and down 109 and, like, maybe hanging out at a bar on the side of the crossing or going to the Starbucks? Like, did you factor that in, or are you just thinking about the experience of looking at this intersection?
I was thinking about, like, at least within sight of the intersection.
Okay.
Like, maybe a bar next to it, sure. Or, like, the overlook looking down on it. Yes, I would include that. Walking through it. But I don't know if I'd include, like, shopping in a nearby mall or something.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm curious to see how... I didn't give anything a 2. Jeez.
That's probably the lowest I gave anything.
All right.
There are no ones. I have no ones.
All right. Well, let's move on. Value and convenience. What do you got?
Well, I'm bouncing back and forth because I'm up to a 9 now.
I also gave it a 9.
Hey, we agreed on something.
Yeah. I mean, it's free.
Yeah.
It's also a super central location. The station is a major hub, so it's like you're probably going to be kind of passing through there anyway.
It's literally at the exit of one of the busiest hub stations in Tokyo. It almost couldn't be easier to get to.
Yeah. The only reason I didn't give it a 10 is just because the station can be hard to navigate, and you kind of need to walk a bit just to get outside of it.
And the only other thing I would add to that is that if you're going there just for that, the experience is quick. Unless you're going to stay in Shibuya and do a bunch of other things, like you're going to travel all the way there to like walk across the thing for 5 minutes.
Sure.
But yeah, I think 9's a great score. And we both agreed on that.
Yeah. What about cultural and historical significance?
This is an interesting one for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I went with a 6.
I gave it a 7.
Okay. All right. We're close.
Mm-hmm.
It just represents the modern urbanization of Japan. The largest megacity in the world has the largest intersection in the world.
That's definitely cultural significance. Like, if that isn't, I don't know what is.
Yeah, being a symbol of Tokyo.
I also feel like if it's your first time in Japan, it's a good way to very quickly get a sense of what Tokyo is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you go through Shibuya Station and go to the crosswalk, like, you're going to feel like you're in Japan.
Yeah. Not a lot of historical significance, but it's just such a heavyweight culturally. I think it deserves the 7.
Okay. So I think total score, we're not too far off, but I think you might come in slightly higher than me.
Yep.
Total score was 25, which averages to 6.25.
My average was 7.
Okay.
I'll write it down. Our next attraction is Sensoji Temple. Sitting in the Asakusa neighborhood, Sensoji is Tokyo's oldest temple. Dates back to 685. It's also got that impressive thunder gate at the entrance, the Kaminarimon, with that huge lantern, extremely recognizable. It's also got the Nakamise in front of the temple, tons of shops and street food. We did a whole episode on this place if you want to hear all about it, episode 87. Paul, wow factor, what do you think?
I went 6.
Justify.
I mean, the way you're looking at me, I don't know if I'm defending how high I went or how low I went.
Should we share our ratings before we justify our ratings?
Sure, sure.
I give it an 8.
Okay. I mean, I can see that. But, like, the things that impressed me are, like, you know, the Thunder Gate at the end of the shopping street is pretty impressive. Like, there's a pagoda there that looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe part of what makes it not higher is that there aren't too many great views of the stuff. Everything's so crowded around there. Like, you looking down the street, you get a nice view of the gate. But outside of that, I don't recall being too impressed anywhere.
Okay. I think my 8 came from just thinking about that experience of the first time you see the Kaminarimon. You know, I remember walking down the street and thinking, like, where is this temple? Am I going to be able to recognize it when I see it? And then you see it and you're like, okay, yeah. Wow. Like,
yeah.
I've seen that before on TV and stuff, but it's like, it's almost even bigger in person than I expected, you know? I just think the Thunder Gate is awesome. And I'd say it's as big of a symbol of Tokyo as Shibuya Crossing, you know? It's like I said, super recognizable.
Yeah, I don't know if that goes into wow factor, though. Being a symbol of the city, well, maybe.
I think part of the wow factor is how you think about the thing before you see it. And I think most people are aware of this and have seen it on TV or whatever enough times that to see it in person, it hits you like, wow, there it is, you know?
It's also maybe the first temple a lot of people go to in Japan.
Right, right. I thought of that too, yeah.
So you've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
So I haven't been here since 2008. So my memories are a little fuzzy. It's hard for me to remember exactly how wowed I was. But you swayed me, Jason. For the first time,
all right.
You swayed me. I'll bump to a 7. I'm not going to go full 8 because I think there's still room thinking of other things yet to come. I think there's still room to grow on the wow factor for me.
All right. Moderate success. I'll take it.
Should we do fun factor?
I gave it a 7.
Okay. 5.
Jeez, Paul, you're skimpy in the fun factor category.
I mean, the shopping street is kind of fun. Other than that, you know, it's a temple. It's not nothing crazy.
I think out of, I don't know, if you group together a bunch of temples, this one's got a pretty fun experience. Like, the Nakamise is kind of legendary. Like, just all those shops, there's so much. And, you know, it's souvenir touristy type stuff. But, like, all the food, the street food is fun. Get your black sesame ice cream or whatever. It's fun getting your fortune, you know? And again, like you said, this might be the first temple that a lot of people visit. So getting your fortune is really fun and tying it up there.
Being the first one it goes to doesn't make the temple better than if you had gone to a different one first.
If this is your first temple experience, that's going to be probably more fun than all of your future temple experiences.
But you could say that about every temple. If they happen to go there first.
Sure, but this one people are most likely to go to first.
Well, that would fall into the convenience category.
Okay, then. Okay.
Also, I'd maybe go for a 6 or a 7, but it's very crowded. And I don't love the shoulder-to-shoulder crowds.
Well, let me add on to that. There are also all those little sub-temples and stuff around it that I didn't even get the full experience, I think, when I went. But if you went to explore those are much less crowded. And really interesting when you look into the history of those and what they mean and stuff.
Good counterpoint, but not quite enough to make me change my score.
All right. Well, I'm not going to budge either.
Yeah.
Value and convenience.
I went with 8.
I gave it a 6.
Okay.
Mostly because of the crowds.
Okay. We kind of put that in different spots, I guess, then.
Mm-hmm.
I guess convenience crowds factor in a little bit, too. It's free admission.
It is free.
So that's nice.
But you're probably going to want to spend money if you want to get snacks in the Nakamise, the street food stuff. And like, you got to get there early to avoid crowds. If you want to see it without crowds, that's less convenient.
Yeah. I mean, it's in Tokyo, pretty easy to get to, which gives it points for me. You know, it's not that far from the station.
Sure.
Also, it's not that far from other attractions like Tokyo Skytree or Akihabara, so you might kind of be in the area anyways. So I went higher on that.
Sorry, what was yours?
8.
8, and I gave it a 6. Okay.
Cultural and historical significance. Well, it's a 1,400-year-old temple, so you're giving it a 10, right?
I gave it an 8.
Oh, the emperor never visited, so it didn't get the 10? Was that your criteria in the intro?
It is Tokyo's oldest temple. It is widely recognized as a symbol of Japan. I do think it's a very significant site. What brought it down to an 8 for me is that it just, especially the Nakamise, feels super touristy, and all the souvenirs and trinkets make it feel a little cheaper than it might otherwise, just because it's so heavily marketed towards tourists. I don't know.
And victim maybe, of its own success.
Maybe it has been for a long time. I mean, we talked about how that Nakamise goes back to the 1600s. Like, they've been selling souvenirs there for a long time. You could argue that's, you know, that's a part of the tradition is souvenirs and stuff.
It's the most popular and famous temple in Tokyo, and maybe has been for hundreds of years. Did I say I gave it a 9?
I don't think you did.
Okay. I went 9. The history dating back to the 600s. Being a symbol of the city, this living history that you get to walk through and enjoy.
I get it.
So that the total to me with the adjusted score that you argued me on is 29, which would be be a 7.25, I think.
My overall rating also averages out to 7.25.
Okay. In agreement, we just got there a little different ways.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we are still in Tokyo. We're going to talk about Takashitadori in Harajuku. This is the famous shopping street there with all the young, trendy clothes and fashions.
Yeah, youth culture. That's what Harajuku is all about. And this street, Takeshita Street, exemplifies that perfectly. People go here to check out kawaii fashion, maybe try to see some cosplay.
I think idol culture is popular here as well.
Sure. There's a lot of crazy food these days there. Have you seen that?
No.
I feel like there are just more and more places popping up that are selling really like eye-catching food.
Hmm.
I saw a video recently. They have this rainbow grilled cheese where the whole gimmick is like you pull apart the two halves of the grilled cheese, and as the cheese stretches, it makes like a rainbow down the middle of it.
Okay. That kind of fits.
It does not look like cheese. It looks like colored rubber, but I'm really curious to see what you got for this one.
Yeah, this was an interesting one to rate. Yeah. So I'll go with wow factor first. I gave it a 5.
I also gave it a 5.
Okay. The shops are kind of cool. Like there's some trendy shops, and occasionally like you see some people dressed really cool. It's kind of fun to look at the people, but there's not a lot to see beyond that.
Yeah.
You don't first show up and go like, wow. You kind of like see a few things as you go.
Right. I was imagining that first moment when you walk up to the entrance to the street and it's like, okay, it's a street.
Yeah. Like, am I here?
Yeah. Yeah. The charm of the street is really in all the shops, all the cute things that you're going to see. I don't know. I might have given it a lower rating if it weren't for all the weird food. Have you seen, like, there's a tower of mochi balls that you can get, I think, like daifuku on a stick?
That sounds awesome.
It's like 3 feet high. Yeah.
What?
Like giant cotton candy.
I don't remember there being weird food when we were there, but
it's been
a while now.
They had some interesting stuff. There's like a famous crepe shop there, and I remember getting like a kind of a, it was like a churro kind of filled with cream, and they fill them in front of you.
Sure.
It wasn't quite a churro. It was a little more, I don't know. They've always had interesting food there, I feel like, but it's getting like crazier and crazier these days.
Okay. Well, we're in agreement, so I guess let's go to fun factor. What'd you have for that?
I gave it an 8 for fun factor.
Wow, okay.
Because I think it's really fun. Like, as long as the crowds aren't so thick that they ruin the experience, I think it's a fun time. Like, once you just accept, okay, I know that this is a super touristy thing to do, and it's all kind of just like cute stuff. Like, if you're ready to enjoy that kind of thing, I think there's a lot to enjoy. I think it's really fun looking in the shops and just finding, like, they're full of things that you would never see anywhere else. They're full of things that you didn't know existed, you know? And yeah. I just like that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not really into shopping, but I like looking at new things that I've never seen before. That's why I think it's fun.
Okay, fair enough, but I disagree. I went with a 5. You know, the shops are kind of cool. And there is some excitement in the air. But other than that, like, the shops aren't that cool. I can just think of a lot of things that are more fun.
That's fair. I think out of all these places we're talking about, this is one where it really depends on how into it you are personally, you know?
Yeah. But you might be noticing as I go, I'm low on fun factor on a lot of these places.
Paul just doesn't know how to have a fun time, I guess.
I just think of different things sometimes. I feel like maybe going to a karaoke box or even a batting cage might be more fun for me than some of these places.
I understand.
But I'd maybe rather go to these places for the cultural, historical experiences and stuff like that.
Sure. So just for context, just so people have an idea of what Paul thinks fun is, you're talking about like physically active stuff. Like, I mean, I know we said like engaging stuff, but you're talking about like where you really get involved and do something, right?
It's got to be active in some way. I mean, fun could be even having a good conversation or sitting playing a video game. But I have to be involved in some way to really be having a great time, I feel like.
Well, that just makes me extra perplexed that you didn't want to join me on the Shimanami Kaido or the Kumano Kodo. Those are like the most interactive things you could do.
I do want to join you on those. It's just, I want to do everything. So yeah. I'm losing out on something no matter what.
They're a big time commitment, I suppose.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, moving on. Value and convenience for Takeshita Street. I gave it a 6.
Oh, I went 8.
Okay.
Again, super easy to get to, right outside Harajuku Station. The shopping street is free. A lot of the things you can even buy on the shopping street are relatively inexpensive. So you can buy a bunch of stuff and not break your bank.
It is easy to get to and is free if you don't buy anything. But I think to get the most out of the experience, you're going to want to buy some of that crazy street food. And, you know, it's tourist prices. That yeah. stuff is kind of expensive.
The food maybe is, but not the stuff in the shops, I feel like.
Yeah. It's also very busy
yeah.
at times. So that factored into that. Ready for cultural and historical significance?
Yep. I went 6.
Okay. I gave it a 5.
Okay. Okay. I went the same as the scramble, you know, on this one.
Hmm.
It's one of those modern culture things. You know, the youth countercultures of the modern day are shown off here, which isn't really history, but it is good culture.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I think the reason maybe I got a little lower rating than you was that I think it's kind of more touristy than ever. Like maybe 20 years ago or something, there was a time when it was more of like a real youth culture place where
it was cool and it had become like a tourist spot.
Yeah. And now I feel like most people there are tourists that are trying to get a sense of that youth culture, but there's like less of the authentic youth culture left. If yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah. Even in 2014, was it? Or 2016 when we went there?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like half tourists, probably.
Yeah.
I don't mean to say that. I feel like I put a bad intone on that. Like, I'm a tourist, too. Like, it's yeah. fine. It's
no,
fine.
We're part of the problem.
All right. So that averages out to an even 6 for me.
Same here. Oh, my goodness. 2 in a row. We got the same overall rating.
All right. Well, I wonder if one of these will hit all 4 scores exactly the same.
That would be crazy.
All right, Jason, we got one last stop in Tokyo. We're going to talk about Akihabara.
All right.
Which is kind of big to say is an attraction, but we're just going to talk about main shopping street, maybe.
Yeah, just the Akihabara experience.
So Akihabara is the mecca of otaku culture in Japan. Anime, games, manga, all that sort of stuff.
Electronics, maid cafes.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. I wanted to acknowledge that we're both probably a little biased about this one because we're just big fans of this part of the city, right? Did you try to mitigate the effect that your fandom has on your ratings?
Yes. I maybe even went too far. I think I was very fair here.
Okay.
So what do you got for wow factor?
I gave it a 7.
Oh, okay. I gave it a 5.
Hmm. I was going to, my first note here to justify that number was my opinion might be skewed. And I think, well, more specifically, it was skewed because of how much I'd heard about Akihabara before I first visited. I was super excited to go to Akihabara for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
I remember first exiting the train station there, seeing the signs, it's like Akihabara Electric Town, you know? And I'm like, this is it. And then you go outside and you see all the arcades and all the anime billboards and stuff. I was hyped.
Yeah, I totally get it. I tried to do this score more as if I was someone that wasn't super into anime before I went here. It looks cool. It's got the sky high neon lights. You got the maids on the side of the street trying to get you up into their cafe. So it is kind of cool, you know, it's a solid 5, but nothing that you can't see anywhere else in the city except for maybe the maids.
Well, the shops too. Like, I remember just exploring all these shops and seeing all this anime stuff, and it's like, where else could you possibly get all this, you know? I feel like I was in a constant state of wow when I was walking through there, but I didn't want to overdo it, so I pulled myself back to a 7, you know?
Okay, okay. Fun factor. I went 6.
I let my bias get the better of me, and I gave it a 9.
Oh, man, you went 9.
I think it's a really fun place to explore. And, like, you know, I know in our Akihabara episode, I didn't write it down, but it was a pretty recent one, if you want to check that out. But I talked about how it does something weird psychologically. Like when you start going through all these shops and then you find like the perfect thing. It's like, this is my favorite anime. This is my favorite character. There couldn't be a more perfect item. I'm going to buy this. Like that's just
It is fun scoring the thing you were looking for if you find it. But the shopping there is also a bit of a grind. You know, the stores are cool, but you've got these small six-floor stores that you're shoulder-to-shoulder squeezing by people up and down the stairs. It's hot. It's muggy in the store. It's not the greatest shopping experience in some ways.
That's fair.
Even, like, anime that are based on otaku culture, they get excited to go to Akihabara, but while they're there, it's like business. They're not running around with grins. They're, like, waiting in line. They're digging through bins, trying to find the thing that they want. That being said, there's lots of fun things you could do. There's karaoke, arcades, maid cafes can be fun. So there is a lot of content there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Akihabara experience is a lot of fun. You can do a lot of stuff there that you can't do anywhere else, you know?
Yeah.
Value and convenience.
6.
7.
Okay.
Easy to get to. A lot of the goods are surprisingly affordable. It's busy, but not like crazy busy to the point that it's not enjoyable.
Yeah. Easy to spend a lot of money here. Like all the fun stuff costs money. You know, it's shopping or you're going to a maid cafe or you're doing karaoke. It starts adding up.
That's
true. You can spend a little, you know, if you're going to spend a lot of time there, you're probably spending a bit of money as well.
That's fair. But I think there's a lot of fun to be had just looking around too.
Oh man, my accent. I'm thinking about my accent now, bro. Karaoke.
Don't be self-conscious, Paul.
I am who I am, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you're great. Don't you forget
thanks, man. All right, so cultural and historical significance?
7.
Ah.
Did you give it a 6?
Same. I went 7.
Nice.
I was interested, too. There's so many angles you could take on this.
Yeah.
It's the mecca of modern-day otaku culture. That's worth something.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned in the Akihabara episode we did, it has its roots as a what it became today in the black market post-World War II. But even before that, it was a, I think, exit gate to old Edo. And that's why there were shops that sprung up there. There is a nice, impressive history and there's culture.
Yeah, I still felt like my rating for this was a little skewed as a fan of anime. Like, I feel like there's a lot of cultural significance in that. But yeah, 7. I thought that was fair.
Okay.
So my overall rating, the average of the four categories, is 7.50.
Wow. Okay. Mine is 6 even.
Wow. That's pretty big difference.
Which is exactly the same, I think, that I gave Takeshita. All right, we're going to head north from Tokyo now, Jason. What do we got next?
We're going to Nikko for Nikko Toshogu Shrine, the most elaborate shrine in Japan. It enshrines Tokugawa Ieyasu, one of Japan's most significant historical figures. He was the first shogun of the Tokugawa shogunate, which ruled through the 250-year Edo period. It's got a pagoda. It's got tons of other incredible buildings. They're covered in elaborate carvings, tons of gold. It's pretty great. By the way, we did an episode on Nikko, episode 80, if you want to hear more about this place and a bunch of other places nearby. Anything to add?
That was a nice summary.
Thank you. Wow factor.
10.
10?
10.
Wow.
It wowed me, Jason.
Okay, apparently.
What'd you give it?
I gave it an 8.
Okay, I mean, that's solid. But have you ever seen something so intricate, so elaborate?
I mean, Europe has some pretty cool stuff, too. Like, really intricate carvings and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Would those not be 10 as well?
Don't get me wrong. The shrine is stunning, okay? I'm not sure what's in my mind as a 10. I feel like maybe Team Labs.
Okay. Is 8 the highest you've given on WoW so far?
I gave Sensoji an 8.
Do you think Sensoji is as impressive as Nikko Toshogu Shrine?
For Sensoji, I was factoring in the idea that this is like the first temple you're seeing And the big lantern, you know, the lantern is a wow thing.
Yeah, but the lantern compared to an entire temple complex carved with exquisite artistry beyond belief.
You're not going to beat me down into raising this number, Paul.
You know, I knew when we came into this, it'd be unlikely that I'd get you to change on anything.
I'm just a stubborn person.
It's not the type of person you are. I feel like there's some separation between those two.
Okay, so I'm looking at my notes. Everything I have written here is positive. Like, all the little details, all the little carvings are mind-blowing. It is a feast for the eyes. And especially if you have seen other shrines, you recognize how this place is in a league of its own,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So if it's in a league of its own, it's got to be above an 8.
All right, I'll give it a 9.
There we go. I'm happy with that.
You did it.
The art is incredible, too. I mean, the elephants carved by the guy who had never seen an elephant. I mean, that's so cool.
Yeah, there are just a lot of little details to look at.
All right, so what about fun factor?
This might be one of my lowest for fun factor.
Wow, okay.
I gave it a 4.
Me too. It is really, it's like awe-inspiring, but you just kind of walk around taking it in.
Yeah, it's not really interactive. It's not what I would call fun.
Yeah.
And especially because a lot of the times it's so crowded, it's like you're mostly just kind of following the crowd through the path and looking at everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great experience, but it's not, fun isn't the word I would use to describe it.
Totally agree. So value and convenience. This one, I went back and forth a little bit on with myself.
Yeah. I gave it a 5.
Okay. 6.
Okay.
So argument for a 6 would be that if you're in Nikko, it's very easy to get to. And Nikko's not that hard to get to, like 2-hour train ride from Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. It's 1,300 yen to get in, which isn't really cheap for a shrine, but it's also one of the most impressive in the country. I feel like that's justified.
Agreed.
And you got to factor in how busy it is. You know, there can be long lines.
Yeah, get there early or wait in line. Okay. Cultural and historical significance.
Well, I don't think I gave any 10s on this.
Okay.
So this got a 9 for me.
Okay. I also gave it a 9.
Obviously.
It's the greatest monument to the most significant figure of the Edo era. That's impressive.
Yeah. The cultural and historical significance is undeniable.
It's about 400 years old. It's got the history. It's got the cultural significance.
Okay, I guess that's why I have a note here. It doesn't get a 10 because it's only like 400 years old.
If it was another 1,000 years older,
that might get it a 10.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough. So my rating on that then is 7.25. And your adjusted rating?
6.75.
Okay, we had a little separation.
Mm-hmm.
Even after I bumped you up on that one.
Paul, let's get on a train to Kyoto.
We gotta stop in Kyoto if we're doing famous attractions.
First stop, Kiyomizu-dera. This is one of Kyoto's most famous temples. It's located on the east edge of the city in the Higashiyama area. Famous for its big wooden stage that rises up above the trees. Did a whole episode on this place, episode 55. Anything else, Paul?
Good summary. I mean, we've talked for an hour about this place before, and we could again. So let's leave it at that.
Okay. Wow factor.
8.
7.
Yeah. The stage is impressive.
It is.
But being situated, nestled up in the foothills of the mountains with just trees everywhere, it's also got the large grounds to explore so you can get different views of the stage and the temple. It's got the 3-story pagoda right when you get to the top of the stairs at the end of the shopping street that kind of hits you right away. It's pretty impressive.
It is. And I know I've mentioned before, I used to have this wallpaper on my computer. Like, before I'd even been to Japan, I just found this random wallpaper. And I'm like, this place looks incredible. And I didn't even know where it was. I had to do some Googling to figure out, like, what is this place? So I was super excited to see it for the first time. And, yeah, especially at night, like in this wallpaper, it's nighttime and they got the trees all lit up and it's just a gorgeous place.
Yeah. Or the fall when the trees are turning colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so fun factor. I went 7.
I also did 7.
Okay.
Yep.
There's a lot to do for a temple.
Yeah.
The love stones are hilarious.
Got to do the love
stones. The people closing their eyes and trying to find the other stone is so fun.
Yeah.
Some of their friends are helping them. Some of their friends are not helping them. It's a good time. Some people are trying way too hard.
Yeah. That is a lot of fun. You can drink the lucky water from Otoa Waterfall. That's fun and interactive. I also was thinking about like the road leading up to it. I thought that was really fun. A lot it's of cool
another,
shops.
Another one of those, great one of those.
Yep.
There's also the cafe.
Yep, we got food there.
I got that mochi adzuki bean soup. And I think it kind of overlooks the stage, I think, if I remember. We were eating like
it's
almost
down
outside.
Below.
Yeah, it's like below, but you could kind of look up at it.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, so value and convenience.
I said a 6.
Me too.
Okay.
It's only 500 yen, but it's a little bit on the outskirts of the city. It's not too hard to get to, but you got to walk a little ways.
You got to walk uphill up that big, long street.
Yeah.
It's pretty crowded usually.
Yep.
The buses, if you're taking a bus from Kyoto Station to get there, that's going to be crowded probably.
Yep. But on the plus side, there's a lot to see and you can spend a bit of time there. So 6.
Yep. Cultural and historical significance.
8.
I also gave it an 8.
Oh, man.
Temple was founded in 780. That's pretty freaking old.
Yeah. It's one of the iconic temples in Kyoto, which is the city of 1,000 temples.
Mm-hmm. It's also a World Heritage Site.
Yeah. All right. We're agreeing a lot on this one. I think it was just the wow factor that we didn't.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 7.25
minus
average.
7.0.
Okay. That's a solid score. We both liked it.
Yeah.
All right. So this next one, I am really curious to see what you rated. We're talking about Fushimi Inari, the famous shrine of nearly infinite red torii gates. Iconic photo spot. Everybody's seen the pictures of the tunnels of the red torii.
Probably Kyoto's most famous shrine.
But also dates to 711 AD.
Pretty old.
And is the head Inari shrine of all Inari shrines in Japan, which are a third of all shrines in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Inari is the kami of rice, and Inari has fox messengers, which is really fun. You see foxes all over this place.
Yep.
We did a whole episode on this place too, episode 43, if you want to check that out. Wow factor, Paul.
10.
10. Oh, goodness.
Yes.
I gave it an 8.
Wow. Okay. I think it deserves at least a 9. The red torii line gates are iconic. They're beautiful. Walking through them like the tunnel as it keeps passing you is a wow.
I get it. And I'm trying to remember why I gave it an 8 because, again, my notes here are only positive. You know, the torii gates are extremely impressive. And the sights that you can see as you climb up the mountain, especially at night, that's
there's the great
awesome.
Overlook spot where you get to see a really nice view of Kyoto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me justify the 8. I'm thinking about it. When you walk up and you walk into the shrine grounds,
yeah,
that moment is, it doesn't hit me as hard. I feel like it's a, more of a slow burn, the wow there, right? The wow is as you're climbing up and you're like, oh, I've seen these torii gates before. This is such like a famous place and it's such a cool feeling being in this tunnel of torii gates, you know?
I see what you're saying, but it doesn't take too long to get to the tunnels of the torii gates. They're not that far off the main. Also, true. The main gate isn't as impressive, but it is one of the, it's the same red color and it's massive. It's one of the bigger ones you'll ever see. And the wow is slightly delayed, but it's still a heck of a wow.
I don't feel like I had a moment that made me say, wow. There were a lot of moments where I'm like, ooh,
I think,
but not quite a wow.
The one time you might have said wow was when we found that huge spider.
I might have said wow.
But that's slightly unrelated to the shrine. Okay, all right. So fun factor, what do you got?
I gave an 8 for fun factor, too.
I gave an 8 as well.
Nice.
It's fun climbing. It's fun exploring. You kind of get to the next level and, oh, there's a cool overlook here. And then you get up and, oh, there's like shops here and I can get food. And then you get all the way to the top and there's still more stuff. Like it's a lot of fun hiking up and down and around and exploring.
It totally is. I love that it's a shrine with an activity like attached to it.
Yes.
You know, and you're rewarded by pursuing the climb to the peak. And I also really like the element of exploration on this one. There's so many little paths where you can veer off the main path and find little sub shrines and stuff. And maybe you find some cats, you know.
Yeah.
We came across some wild boars that night,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we did.
Just a lot of, it was a fun experience.
Yeah, so fun.
Mm-hmm. Value and convenience.
I went 9.
Wow. I gave it a 6.
Wow.
I think the main reason I didn't give it higher was because it's just super busy a lot of the time. And like, it's not as fun climbing through all those gates when it's just packed with people.
True.
And if you want to get good pictures, it's going to be hard to do that with all those people.
Yeah, but you still can if you're patient. I'd say it's really easy to get to. It's free. The grounds are open 24 hours, so you don't have to plan like, oh, I don't have to be there by 5 o'clock. You can literally show up anytime. You're right about the crowds. That's the only downside. That's why it's a 9 and not a 10.
Okay.
All right, you know what? I'll lower it. 9 is really
high. Oh,
my. 9 is really high. I'll go 8. It is crowded a lot of the time. And if you want to try to get a picture, it is a little bit of a hassle.
See, everybody, that's how you negotiate. I just had to wait a little bit and wait for Paul to crack.
Yeah.
I was really considering going up to a 7, but I just had to keep my mouth shut.
Well, you still should. I still think it's an 8.
I'll stick with my 6. Just the crowds. I mean, Kyoto, all of Kyoto is just super crowded these days, I think.
I almost think I might be more biased towards Fushibi Inari. I was worried about being biased towards this more than I was for Akihabara. Because I've been to Akihabara 3 times. It's lost its luster for me a little bit. I just go there to get the merch these days, not to be impressed.
Sure.
But Fushibi Inari was like one of my greatest memories in Japan, and I absolutely loved it. So I think that's like influencing me a little bit, but it should, right?
Had you been there before we went?
No. That's the only time I've been
there. You've only been there at night.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
So you haven't seen it in daylight. I'm trying to think now how that must color your perception of it, you know?
Did we get there at dusk? Or it was lit?
It was already pretty dark.
It was lit pretty well near the bottom. Like, I remember seeing it pretty good.
They have lights. I mean, yeah, they have lights in front of the main hall after dark, but...
Yeah. I've seen a million videos of it.
So I had climbed up to the top in the daylight on my first trip, and then when we hiked together, like, it just felt very different to me. So now I'm thinking about both of those.
All right, so I went down to an 8. So cultural and historical significance.
8.
9. Or no, sorry, 8. 8.
You have 8 written down?
I do.
Okay. I mean, we said supposedly dates back to 711. That's pretty old.
Right.
And the head of all Inari shrines.
Yep. Those are the two things I had. But those two alone, I feel like 8.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. The pure touristiness of it is what kept it from a 9 or a 10 for me.
Sure.
And I think for a lot of people, like, they're not thinking about the historical cultural significance. I think a lot of people, maybe this is not giving people enough credit, but I feel like a lot of people go there for the Instagram pictures of, you know, getting
only
a picture
the
of them
influencers.
In the gates.
Normal people are great. It's only the influencers, Jason.
Yeah.
Okay.
To me, it feels like, I wrote in my notes, the cultural and historical significance is diluted because it's also a symbol of the culture of international tourism.
Wow, that sounds like a conclusion to an essay or something. Well written.
Thanks.
Okay, so total score?
7.5.
Okay. With the adjustment for me, 8.5.
Wow. All right.
So I was interested to see, like, is it just me? Or does Jason have this as, like, one of his higher ones, too?
I don't know.
I mean, 7.5 is kind of high, I think, for what we've been rating. But yeah. 8.5, this is my highest one by far so far.
I feel like I was pretty conservative with my ratings. Like, I had trouble going too high and too low, you know?
And
most of my ratings are between, like, 5 and 9.
Okay. Well, I feel like for cultural and historical significance and wow factor, I have a lot of high scores.
Hmm.
I think I do for convenience, too. and then not as much for fun factor. But I feel like that's just the nature of the things we're talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of these are incredibly historical. Like, they just are. And a lot of these are really easy to get to in some of the biggest cities in the country. Like, they just are. Like, that's how it is.
Yeah. But they're more like sites than kind of all-encompassing, like, experiences. Yeah.
Like, the Shibunami Kaido, if we were rating that, would might be a 10 on the fun factor.
Totally.
But we're not doing that type of stuff here.
Yeah.
So I even went down there. My original score was 8.75. So I went down that one.
That's high.
Yeah, yeah. I might be biased, or Fushimi Inari might just appeal to me specifically based on my tastes. All right, next up in Kyoto, we've got Yasaka Pagoda, which is a very famous pagoda located in the Higashiyama district of Kyoto, pretty near Kiyomizu-dera.
It's a gorgeous five-story pagoda. Also one of the most popular photo spots in Kyoto.
Yeah. It's the last remnant of a 6th to 7th century temple, though the pagoda was rebuilt at some point.
And I think the location where it sits is really important, too, to understand like what it's all about. Because it's just a super beautiful, traditional neighborhood. Like, that whole area is kind of a symbol of old Kyoto, right? And people just love taking photos there. Like, you can really get this sense of what it looked like hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
Wow factor.
7.
I also gave it a 7.
I mean, it's a pretty stunning view of the pagoda. It kind of looks like you're in an Edo area, Japanese city block.
Yeah, the wooden buildings, just the atmosphere is really cool in that area.
But that's it. Like, from that one angle, you see it, it looks great.
Yeah.
There's not really anything else to see. That would wow you, at least.
Agreed. Fun factor.
3.
I also gave it a 3.
I mean, you go there, you see it. You can go inside, but it's like not regularly open. So you show up, you're kind of unlikely to even be able to go in and see the displays that they do have.
Even if you did go inside, I feel like you're not likely to spend more than like 10 minutes at this place.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing where you just show up, you look at it, you're like, that's pretty. And then you move on.
Yep. Value and convenience.
I gave it an 8.
Okay. 6 for me.
Okay. Let me justify my 8, and then you can justify your 6. I gave it 8 because, number one, it's easy to get to if you're already in the area, and you probably will already be in the area if you're going to Kiyomizu and, you know, the other amazing temples around there.
You're not wrong, but already in the area for me isn't an 8. That's more of like a 6. Like, well, it's convenient free. If you're in the area.
It's also free.
Yeah. But it's also like, it's free what? To take a picture of it? You're not doing anything. You're not even going inside most of the time.
Sure.
Agree to disagree.
Okay.
Cultural and historical significance.
I said 7.
Okay, fair enough. I said 6.
Okay.
I mean, it's a 100-some-year-old pagoda. It was part of a really ancient temple, but there's nothing. There's no other special meaning to it. It's not the head temple of anything.
I mean, it's got some interesting history. I was looking into it. It relates to Prince Shotoku and the Minamotos.
The history seemed a little cloudy to me, though, too. Like, I don't know how much of that was... We know for sure all these things happen.
I mean, that's so long ago that, you know, at that point, it's all kind of history mixes with legend, right?
True, true.
But I don't know. I thought it was significant because, like, if you're going to Kyoto, you want a sense of, I mean, people go there for traditional culture. And I feel like this area just really gives you one spot where you can stand and be like, okay, this is what traditional Kyoto might have felt like, you know?
Okay. I feel like for the consistency of my ratings... I also gave a 6 in this to Harajuku and Shibuya Scramble. And I feel like this is to ancient culture kind of equivalent what those are to modern culture.
Reasonable. What's your overall rating?
5.5.
Huh. Mine was 6.25.
Okay. That's the lowest I've given.
Wow.
I mean, there's not a lot to do, like, compared to like Kiyomizu, I'm not going to give it the same score.
It's fair.
It never had a chance.
The only one I rated lower than this so far was Takeshita Street.
Oh, wow. You were low on that, huh?
Yep. 6 on that one. All right, Paul, let's go to the west side of Kyoto, to the Arashiyama Bamboo Grove.
Ah, so this is a grove of bamboo that you've probably seen pictures of. It's very beautiful.
And very popular.
Yes.
There's a path where you can walk down through the grove, and it's just amazing the atmosphere in there, being surrounded by all the super tall and super thick bamboo. It's just like, it's got a vibe to it that you can't experience anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, it's really peaceful and beautiful. You feel like you're in nature, right in the middle of the city.
Yeah. It's peaceful if it's not a mosh pit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this could be skewed too, because like I went there once and we went there pretty early. Like that was the first place we went that day.
Not quite as early as I wanted to. I remember that very clearly.
I do remember like, let's get up at 5 a.m. and me being like, I think that was like, we were heading to Tokyo that day and I was like flying back the next day. And I think actually I split up from you day, I think. And
you
I went back to Tokyo to fly away. So I was like, I want to sleep in a minute.
Right.
Anyways, it wasn't that crowded when we got there. It could have been more crowded.
True. I've seen pictures from recent years where it's just like crazy.
It might be just a C now. Yeah. So wow factor.
8.
Same.
Nice.
It's beautiful. The way the stalks sway in the wind, you can hear them rustling too. You just walk up to it. It's pretty stunning.
Yeah. This is another one that I just heard so much about and I'd seen the pictures for so many years. To finally be there was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Like it does look like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Fun factor?
I give it a 5.
Okay. I went 4.
Okay.
It's just a short walk. You kind of go straight for a little while, then it slightly curves and like you're done. It's like a few hundred meters maybe.
Yeah. It's a light stroll. There's nothing really interactive.
It's a nice stroll, but it's like 5 minutes.
and then that's it,
you know.
There's, you know, it's kind of fun to hear the sounds of the bamboo and bask in the atmosphere, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, value and convenience?
I also gave it a 5 in this category.
Okay. I went 6. It's free,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a ton to do.
I think the main reason it was so low for me is just because to get the full experience... You're going to have to just get up really early to get there, and that's inconvenient.
It's the crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that hard to get to, but it is a little bit on the outskirts of the city.
It's around a ton of other big touristy stuff, though.
Yeah, so like you might be there anyways.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to go down to a 5. You're right. Like, the fact that if you really want to enjoy it, you have to, like, show up ridiculously early.
Man, I'm really
persuasive.
You're
right. That's not convenient. That's not convenient. So I'm going to go 5.
All right.
Cultural and historical significance.
I gave it a 5 here, too.
Ah, 6.
Okay.
I think learning in the Kyoto episode that it represents the traditional bamboo crafting of the neighborhood and that they still use some of that bamboo to craft things that they sell in local shops.
Okay.
That's cultural to me.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking of just the cultural relevance of bamboo. Like, it's important to Japanese culture.
Yeah,
you know?
But there's that specific local relevance as well.
True. We did an episode about bamboo, by the way, episode 26, if you want to hear more about that.
You're not going to budge? Local
you
cultural
said,
crafts?
Well, here's the other thing. I couldn't really find any solid history about it. Like, I was trying to figure out, like, I didn't really know. Why is this place here? What did it look like a couple hundred years ago or whatever?
Yeah.
And it probably has been around for quite a while just because when bamboo takes hold of an area, it doesn't tend to let go, you know?
Yeah.
But I couldn't find any...
They're probably just planting it all around to use it. And at some point, it got like roped off into a garden-like thing. And yeah, I don't recall ever seeing a history of that either.
Yeah. I'm sticking with 5.
Okay.
What's your overall...
My overall adjusted down score is 5.75.
Oh, mine as well.
Okay. Yeah, it's cool, but crowded and not a lot to do. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, this was kind of a weird one because my wow factor was so high, but all the other categories dragged it down, you know? I still think it's worth going to, and I would love to go back.
Especially because the whole Arashiyama district has a lot of great things to do. So spend a day over there and see the bamboo while you're there.
Totally.
All right, we're going to be heading out of Kyoto for our last two that we're going to talk about, which is maybe good because we've been going for a while here. A lot of good conversation. I'm enjoying this.
Me too, buddy.
Talking about Japan things with you is always fun, buddy.
Agreed.
So let's do Osaka Castle next.
This is a reconstructed castle. That's important
it
to
is.
Mention.
Yes.
It's on the big hill that Osaka was named after. It's got a museum inside. It is quite beautiful, but it also was not made with traditional methods or materials.
So I don't think I've mentioned yet, but I did all my rankings about 3 weeks ago because I was really excited for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back this past weekend and I looked at them just to make sure I didn't have anything wild in there. And Osaka Castle, there were like three, I think, that I changed.
Oh.
And Osaka Castle was one of them that I did change a little bit.
Which category did you change? The wow factor?
I think I changed cultural and historical significance.
Because you thought more about that concrete and the elevator on the side of it?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So wow factor.
7.
8.
I can understand an 8 for sure.
It's a beautiful building.
It is. It really is. And especially like seeing it from the distance, you know, as you get closer, you get to see it from different vantage points.
It's kind of perched up there. You can see it from all sides. You can see it from a long ways away. We even saw it from Sakura no Miya Park through like the holes in the cherry blossom trees when we were there last time, like way off in the distance. It stands out.
It is cool looking.
It's all white with gold accents and a big gold carp right at the top roof.
Kind of a green roof with like gold accents.
Yeah, right? It's great.
Yeah.
You also get great views of the city from inside. The city goes off in all directions and you get a really nice view. So that's pretty wow too.
Yeah.
The grounds are actually impressive too. The big moat and some of the gates and stuff.
I feel like I might not have spent enough time exploring the grounds. I feel like I missed some stuff. The garden.
Yeah.
I think I've seen some cool pictures from the garden.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Fun factor.
6.
5.
Okay. I feel like if you're into history and museums, this is going to be more fun to you because that's, you know, what the inside is. It's all about history and stuff. For me, the gift shop adds a little bit to it as well. I like gift shops, and you can throw shuriken, like the ninja throwing stars in the gift shop. That's pretty fun.
Okay.
But all in all, it's not like a super engaging experience walking around inside this castle, you know?
Yeah, the museum is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked it a lot. And exploring the grounds is pretty cool, too. Maybe I should go up on that. 5? Yeah, I'm gonna go up to a 6. Now I'm back up on Osaka Castle, changing my mind every day, blowing in the wind over here.
I really am an influencer here, influencing Paul left and right.
Yep. Value and convenience?
Gave it a 7.
Okay, 6.
It's 600 yen to get in, which isn't crazy. It's not inconvenient to get to. I thought it was a pretty good value.
You could easily spend an hour plus there.
Yeah.
It's not hard to get to, but it's not super near downtown or a lot of the other major attractions either, so it's slightly out of the way.
You kind of gotta make a point to go there specifically.
Yeah.
Cultural and historical significance?
7.
Oh, I gave it a 6.
Yeah.
This is not an original castle, Paul.
I went down. I think I was at an 8 on this.
What?
Well, the history in the museum is great. They have real historical artifacts. They tell a good story about the siege of Osaka Castle and about samurai lifestyle. There's a little shrine on the grounds. There's also a Japanese garden on the grounds, displaying that aspect of Japanese culture. So the castle's not real, but there's a lot of other, like, real culture and history there.
Okay. I was just thinking about the castle itself. Like, it's just not super significant. It'll give you an idea of what castles look like, which is something.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And maybe I was swayed by a certain person, a Japanese person that we talked to, who kind of looked down on Osaka Castle. They're like, it's just not a real castle. If you're going to go see a castle, go to one of the original castles or something, you know?
Yeah, but if you're in Osaka, go see Osaka Castle. I'm comfortable with 7 because, like, it's a museum. I like, how low are you going to rate a museum, you know? But what do you say, 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm fine with that.
Okay. What's your overall rating then?
Oh, boy. Wait, I went up on fun factor. So that means my overall rating is 6.75.
Oh, mine is 6.5. We matched before I swayed you.
Yeah, yeah. You raised me back up on that one. So I haven't added all these up exactly, but I think I know which one has the highest score so far.
Do you want me to confirm?
Yeah, I think it's Fushimi Inari.
Are you talking overall or just you?
I'm talking overall. Oh. I know me is Fushimi Inari.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're probably right on that.
But that's partly because I was so high on it.
Yeah. You're wondering if this one's going to topple it?
I think it has a chance, but I don't know exactly. If you came in with some strong ratings, we might be able to take the number one spot with this one.
I think we might.
Okay.
I think we might.
All right.
Talking about Himeji Castle, a real castle.
It's real!
An original castle! So this is in the city of Himeji, which is just down the coast a ways from Osaka. Some call this the most beautiful castle in Japan.
Yep.
And it's easy to see why,
it's
right?
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's all white. It's on this big hill. A lot of the complex around it is still intact as far as the baileys and the moat.
Yep. Yeah, it's not just the keep. It's a lot.
And the inside is really well preserved too, and you can walk through it. Pretty awesome.
Even just the display. Like, when you're coming from the train station, you kind of get funneled into this open area that is looks just straight at the castle. So you can see it from a distance way up on the hill. And you just keep walking closer and closer to it. And it starts towering over you. And you can see it in more detail. And the more detail you see, the more beautiful you realize it is. It's stunning.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as you walk out the station, it's just like the focal point of the city.
Yeah.
It's just right there.
So I'm talking about wow. I guess we should get into wow factor.
I didn't give it a 10. I don't know. I just feel like it's hard to give anything a 10, but I gave it a 9.
Have you given anything a 10 on anything?
No.
Okay. I 10. I went 10.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue.
I just thought
with
like,
you.
I mean, it really doesn't get that much better, you know, than this. If I can't give this a 10, what can I give a 10?
Yeah.
And I think we just talked about all the reasons.
Yeah, it's pretty apparent why, I mean, everything about it is just wow.
Yep.
Fun factor. This is where it hurted a little bit for
me. Okay, what do you got?
5.
6.
Okay.
Exploring the castle was fun. It's an original castle. You get to climb up all 6 floors, up the steep stairs, look all around, down the corners. Like, it was kind of fun exploring.
I would call it interesting and impressive more than fun. I remember just having the sense of like kind of following a path of people.
Yeah.
Like it's not so much you get to go off on your own and explore. You're just kind of going down the route that everybody's
true.
Going down.
It is roped off route, but the route lets you see most of the castle as you go. It is a little crowded in there. There are some other things to explore on the grounds too. Like there is a little bit of area to explore and look at.
That's true.
All right, these next ones are going to have to be high then if we're going to beat Fushimi Inari. What do you got for value and convenience?
I gave it a 7.
Okay. I gave it 6.
Okay. It's 1,000 yen for adults, which I guess is about what I would expect.
Yep.
For something like that.
But if you're going to explore the grounds and climb the castle, you're looking 2+ hours, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty
There's
good value.
Museums there you can look at too.
It's not hard to get to. You know, you just get to the train station, you walk outside, and you're like, there it is. Let me go that way.
And it's within 1 to 2 hours from Osaka, Kobe, and Kyoto. So if you're in any of those places, it's a pretty easy shot down there.
Mm-hmm. There might be some crowds. It's a popular place, but it won't be as bad as most places in Kyoto, probably.
You also have to be a little bit nimble to be able to like fully explore the castle. Like those are steep stairs you're climbing up.
I suppose.
So maybe not everyone can do that, which makes it less convenient.
I don't know. I don't remember having trouble.
Well, you're a young, able-bodied person.
Yeah. I don't know. It just didn't strike me, I guess, as something to think about.
Okay.
I don't know. But cultural and historical significance, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
I mean, again, I just can't give anything a 10, but I definitely gave it a solid 9.
I can't give anything a 10. You could.
I could.
You could. I gave it a 10. There's only 12 original castles, and Himeji is arguably the most impressive example left.
Okay, I have a note here about why it's not a 10, and it's only because it's not older. But I think it's extremely culturally relevant.
But there are no older castles. This is as old as a castle gets. There are no significantly older castles, I should say. All of the castles are from the Sengoku period. All of the castles that are surviving. None of them are more significantly older.
Fine. But there are a bunch of temples and shrines that are a lot older.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But they're not castles. I think that you could climb inside it and kind of like see the spaces they were living in. There's museums on site showing off culture. How about this? Did you think that it has the Okiku Well, which has that amazing legend attached to it?
I know about Okiku's Well.
That's cultural and historical significance.
I mean, it's a folktale, sure.
Which is cultural.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not trying to pull you down from your 10.
So is there anything in Japan you would give a 10 to on cultural and historical significance?
I mean, there's got to be. Kofun?
So it's just straight up how old something is?
No, I don't know.
Oh, that one piece of Jomon pottery is a 12 because it's 15,000 years old.
I'm trying to resist.
Yeah, have you changed a single answer yet?
I did change one.
You're right. All right, I'll let you go then. You did change one. I got you one time.
Okay. Now I am really thinking, though, what would get a 10 from me?
Right? If it's not Fushimi Inari, it's not Nikoto Shogu, if it's not Himeji Castle.
Emperor Jimmu's desiccated corpse, that would get a 10 from me.
Where can you go view that?
You can't.
Was he even real?
Who knows?
If they ever find it, you'll be there.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, so what's your average here?
My overall for that was 7.5.
Okay, that's pretty good. Mine is 8.
All right.
All right, Jason's going to tally up all our final scores here and give us the rankings. And I'm curious.
All right, the results are in.
Let's hear it.
Top rated attraction is Fushimi Inari Taisha in Kyoto with an 8.0.
Ooh, okay.
Second place, Himeji Castle, 7.75.
Close.
Third place, Sensoji in Tokyo, 7.25. Fourth place, Kiyomizu-dera in Kyoto, 7.13. I rounded up if it ended in a 5, by the way.
Okay.
Number 5, Nikoto Shogu Shrine. I feel like we're just history nerds, you know? So far, these are all just the old traditional stuff, right?
Yeah.
Number 6 is Akihabara with 6.75.
There we go, modern culture.
Yeah. 7 was Osaka Castle with 6.63. Oh, that also actually ties with Shibuya Crossing, also 6.63. So that's 7 and 8.
Okay.
Number 9 is Takeshita Street in Tokyo, 6.0. Number 10 is Yasaka Pagoda in Kyoto with 5.88. And last place is the Bamboo Grove in Arashiyama in Kyoto with 5.75.
Okay. I mean, those are not too far off, like solely my rankings. There were a few that got bumped up or down a couple spots.
Okay.
Maybe the most surprising is Yasaka Pagoda. Like, that was my lowest.
Hmm.
And that got bumped up a couple spots.
One spot, you mean? It was at 10.
Yeah, one spot.
I don't know. You think the Bamboo Forest is more significant than the Pagoda?
I suppose it's pretty close.
I feel pretty good about our rankings.
Okay. Well, it was fun.
It was fun.
Hope you all enjoyed.
Yeah, let us know what you thought of this topic. I was thinking it might be fun to rate other experiences you can have in Japan. Maybe like experiences that aren't necessarily tied to a specific place. Like we could talk about going to a konbini or going to arcades or pet cafes or maid cafes or Japanese gardens, okay. the kinds of things that you can okay. experience in a bunch of different places, but like which ones are worth doing, you know?
I'm just imagining trying to rate going to a maid cafe versus biking around a volcano. That might be fun.
I guess you could bike around a bunch of volcanoes probably, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to mention before we go that our itinerary store has been open for a little bit now. We'd love to get some feedback from anyone that has bought one and taken a look. I don't know if anyone's had time to use one on a trip yet, but I'd love to hear about that too.
Yeah.
If you have any thoughts on what you liked, maybe what you didn't like, ways to improve the itineraries, or if you want to just tell us how awesome and perfect they are and how we couldn't have no one could possibly have done any better, we'd love to hear that too. You can reach us on Instagram where we are at SJP Podcast, or you can email us at feedback@sightseeingjapanpodcast.com, or you can go to our website and use the contact form there. Paul, I'm also excited to announce that we've reached our goal of 50 patrons.
Oh, that's exciting.
Got to start working on that Japanese erotic media episode.
Yep.
Various sorts of erotic media, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go real expansive on that one, I think.
I was about to go. I've already started collecting research material. Then I was like, wait, no.
For the last 20 years
or
so.
It's a book. I bought a book. There's no pictures. It's a book. That's my research material, I promise.
No pictures. Okay. Well, how good a source could it possibly be then if it doesn't have any pictures?
It was written by a former Japanese, you know, erotic video
right.
star.
You told me about that. So, that does sound interesting.
So yeah, I think it will be interesting. Yeah.
I'm sure you can find other pictures to go along with that if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
But a huge thank you to all of our patrons for helping us get there. And let me specifically thank our Shogun level patrons by name: Wesley C., Nicholas McKibben, Kevin Harris, Brady K., Jack, Michael Morris, David Imani, Darwin Perrier, Ethan Teague, Yasmin, Jason, Katarina and Ellery, Susan Victoria, and Chuckhead Rosenthal. Thank you guys so much for your support.
Thank you.
Paul, what are we talking about next time?
Well, speaking of patrons, our next episode is the Patreon voted on episode. And it is going to be overnight and sightseeing trains in Japan.
Nice.
An extremely interesting topic.
Yep. We've done our research, and man, I learned a ton. I had no idea there were so many.
Same.
And they're all really cool, and I'm really excited to talk about them.
Yep.
Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.